What's the point? We have a son desiring to murder another son. We have a mother who has really basically lost her sons in this situation, lost her twins. You see, the result of when we do things our way is always pain and agony.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. You know, Greg, before we begin, you wanted to share something with our listeners.
Yes, Dave. Now, I want to speak to each of you listening. First of all, we are so thankful for those of you who are a part of this ministry through your prayers and financial support. Now, for those of you who haven't partnered with us yet, please pray about partnering with us in this vital ministry of God's Word by sending a financial gift today. We want to thank you in advance for your prayerful support, and Dave will share our contact information at the end of the broadcast.
Well, thanks, Greg. Well, as we get to our study, the question is it our way or God's way? Which will it be?
You know, Dave, that's exactly what we're going to see as we look at the life of Jacob, and it isn't pretty. So grab your Bible as we finish chapter 27, picking up our study at verse 25.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. I guess they had more brothers than just the two at this point. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. We have Isaac declaring and reaffirming the truth that God had made clear, thinking it's Esau. Rebekah, Jacob, and Isaac acting sinfully. They are doing it their way, all the way. Isaac in his flesh desires and attempts to bless his godless firstborn son in a contradiction to God's word. Rebekah certainly wanting the Lord's choice for selfish reasons, favoring Jacob, is willing to deceive her husband, plotting and planning and executing a deceitful plan. Jacob certainly understands that he would be the one who would be served by his brother, yet he is willing to do whatever it takes to get this blessing. Very sad picture. Each and every person sowing to their flesh. Each and every person functioning on their own wisdom rather than the word of God, or even a kind of a mix of it. And there will be consequences because God is not mocked. So now at this point, I believe in our passage, we see two possible responses to the situation when God uncovers sin. When God uncovers this sin sovereignly, there are two responses. Notice what happens in verse 30. Now it came about as soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, just in God's sovereignty, he just barely left. Notice what happens. That Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Can you imagine that? So Isaac follows up with a question. And Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently. And we don't get the sense of this. If you could understood Hebrew, this is a violent, a great shaking. This is a serious physical reaction. Trembled violently and said, "Who was he then who hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of it before you came and blessed him?" We have a violent physical reaction. Why this violent trembling? I believe we're going to see in context that Isaac understands that God has manifest his will in spite of Isaac's sin. You say, how do I know that? I believe we're going to see Isaac at this point responds in the right way. He could have said, "I will bless you too, Esau. I've got another blessing." He could have said that. He doesn't say that. Look at the end of verse 33. "Yes, and he shall be blessed." It's done. I'm not going to change it. Here, Isaac realized, I believe, as we're going to see in Hebrews 11, you can't thwart God's will. And we're going to see by faith, in spite of his actions, he blessed him. Now, he blessed Jacob, thinking it was Esau, but yet here, by faith, he says, yes, he shall be blessed, as we're going to see. By faith. Turn to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11, verse 20. When God exposes your sin, brother and sister, respond rightly. Respond rightly. Do the right thing. The right thing all along was for him to bless his younger son by faith. Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. I believe the portion concerning Isaac is at this point where he says, yes, he shall be blessed, where he applied what he had done deceitfully now to Jacob, certainly knowing who it was, by faith, after trembling violently. And we're going to see that he does not and will not give a good blessing to Esau. Isaac has trembled violently, I believe, recognizing that God has sovereignly brought his will in spite of his will. You see, God's going to do what he's going to do, and you can either submit to him and walk in the context of joy, or you can resist him and you will suffer the consequences, but God will still bring about his will. Isaac did it his way. God sovereignly thwarted it. Now, he didn't sin, cause the sin, but he was sovereign over it, right? Isaac understands, and he will not reverse the blessing for the sake of his favor at this point. But by faith, Hebrews 11, he does what is right. Faith is in the context of believing what God has said. At this point, Hebrews 11, if we didn't have this, it would be kind of sketchy. But by faith, Hebrews 11, Isaac now believed the truth, and he applied it and obeyed by faith. Yet notice, in contrast to Isaac's reaction of trembling and doing what is right by faith, that's what we should be doing. When we are exposed, we did things our way, we should tremble before the Lord and do what is right by faith. But notice what Esau does. He's upset, but not to repentance. Verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. I just think of this hairy man going, "Ah!" You know? And said to him, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Or, i.e., the blessing I had planned to bestow on you. Can you imagine the scene? Isaac is trembling violently. Esau is screaming. This is a picture of what happens when you disobey the Lord and do it your way. These are believers. We need to see this. We need to learn from it. You think you can do things your way, there's only pain coming. There's only pain. When you rationalize in your head this, well, it's because of this. Well, we're not going to leave the church here because we have friends here. No, if there's sin, leave the church. Do the right thing. All sorts of things I hear rationalizing. I'm not going to do this because of this. There's just trouble. And God is gracious. He loves us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to learn. Notice Isaac is firm. He's not going to give a positive blessing to Esau. So how does Esau respond? Verse 36, "Is he not rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times? He took away my birthright." That's a lie, by the way. Esau sold it, by the way. The New Testament says that. He's lying. Okay? "And behold, he has now taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" I think Isaac in his flesh could have given him a blessing, but now he's functioning by faith, as we see in the book of Hebrews. So he petitions. End of 36, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with the grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son?" Here we see Isaac is functioning, I believe, as Hebrews 11 says, by faith at this point. Verse 38, "And Esau said to his father, 'Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father.' So Esau lifted up his voice and he wept." He's broken up, and you might even feel sorry for him. He got deceived at this point, right? Well, don't feel sorry for him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The New Testament gives us a better picture. Verse 15. You see, this weeping actually relates to what is said by the writer of Hebrews. He's crying. He wants the blessing badly. He is broken up over it. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and that by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. He sold the right to be blessed also at that point, by the way. For you know that even afterwards what? After selling his birthright and then also losing the blessing, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it, the blessing, with tears. That's the blessing. He didn't repent. I have sinned against God and against you, my Father. I sold away the promises of God. What horrible sin. He didn't repent at all. He's crying over not getting the blessing. He's a godless man. And if you are a non-believer like Esau and you're trying to be blessed by your association with the body of Christ, guess what? When things don't work out, you'll weep too, but it won't be a godly sorrow. It'll be a worldly sorrow. I want to share another passage. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You see, a godly sorrow leads to repentance. That's a turning. Esau could have repented. He had no place in his heart for repentance. He could have said, I have seen God's promises as nothing. I have treated God as nothing. I repent of that. No, that's not the issue. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Paul says to the Corinthians after he wrote them a sorrowful letter confronting their sin, I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, and that's God's will is revealed in his word, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Esau has a worldly sorrow. He's weeping. He's weeping. But he's unwilling to repent. So what does Isaac do at this point? Does he say, oh, Esau, you're so broken up over this. All right, I'll bless you. He doesn't do that, does he? Look at verse 39 back in our passage. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, this is by faith, by the way. Isaac is functioning, Hebrews 11, by faith now. He is believing the promises of God and acting upon them. He's failed, but he is believing now. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of the heaven above, and by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Isaac does, in a sense, bless him now, as according to Hebrews, but it's a negative blessing. It's a declaration concerning where Esau would be and his descendants. Prophetic reality through this blessing. He would dwell away from the fertile lands and watered areas of the earth. That's Edom. He would live by the sword. He'd be a violent man. We're going to see in a little bit he wants to kill his brother. The Edomites are the descendants of Esau, by the way, the consummate enemies of Israel, always coming after them. Live by the sword. And it says here, and by faith, he says, in your brother you shall serve. That's what God said in the beginning, didn't he? God brings out his way, whether we cooperate or not. If we cooperate by faith, we're blessed. If we don't, we suffer the consequences. And we're going to see some big ones. And your brother you shall serve, but it'll come about when you become restless. That's really pointing to his descendants, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. We're going to see that the Edomites were serving Israel, obviously, but then when Israel went into captivity, they gloated, rejoiced, and that yoke was broken for a while. This is prophetically bringing that forth. So we have two responses to God uncovering sin. Isaac responds by faith. And he shows by faith concerning his sin of wrongly showing favor on Esau, and he does not bless him in that sense. He says, the other brother's going to be blessed. That's the way it is. Esau responds as the heart of a non-believer when confronted and exposed. Sorrow, yet no repentance. Those are the two responses. Esau sorrowfully seeks the blessing without repentance, yet Isaac, being confronted with God's sovereign will, by faith declares Esau his fate. Let me ask you today, has God exposed any area in your life where you are doing it your way? Again, a lot of times for believers, it's centered around the church. It's centered around things in which God has ordained, but yet we do it our way. If you're a true believer, I pray you will respond in repentance and faith. You will do what is right. Leave the consequences in the hands of God. Trust Him. We need to learn from this. When God exposes, we need to confess and by faith do what is right. But we also need to learn that there are consequences. Notice the sad results of doing things their own way. Let them instruct us. Verse 41. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near." Isaac just keeps going, doesn't he? But everyone thinks he's going to die. "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." That's not good. By the way, he's cursing Jacob, and his father just said, whoever curses him will be cursed, by the way. Now, when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you." Verse 43, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee to Haran to my brother Laban, and stay with him for a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him." Wait a second. They both did it. "Then I shall send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of both in one day?" Esau is obviously estranged now from the family, and she doesn't want her son to get killed, and she loses two in one day. And Rebekah said to Isaac, verse 46, "I'm tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from these daughters of Heth like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Very interesting statement here. So what are the consequences? Directly, Esau bore a grudge. That speaks of a persistent hatred. That's a consequence. It's a consequence of their sin, by the way. Okay? He bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And he consoles himself by saying, "I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him." There's a consequence. You got someone who wasn't going to kill him before now desiring to kill him. That's not good. And notice Rebekah, within her wisdom, deceitfully tries to send Jacob away, thinking it's only going to be a couple days, but we're going to see in Scripture she'll never see him again. She's still leaning on her own understanding. Now, when the words of her elder son were reported to Rebekah, verse 42, obviously Esau could no longer hold his murderous thoughts to himself, by the way. They've spilled out. She sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you, planning to kill you." That's the heart of a godless man, consoling oneself by planning to kill somebody. That's just hatred. If you don't know Christ, you hate. We're tempted to hate. If you hate someone in the heart, it's the same thing as desiring to kill him. That's what the Lord said. He hates him and he wants to kill him and he's consoling himself. So Rebekah does, at this point, does she repent? Look at what has happened because of our actions, Jacob. We have sinned greatly against the Lord and against your brother, even though he's a godless man. We've sinned against him. We've sinned against your dad. We've sinned against everybody. She doesn't do that. She says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides." She's leaning on her own understanding. "Until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I shall send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of both you in one day?" She thinks it's only going to be a couple days. He'll get over it. It's not a couple days. Add the years up. She probably never saw him again. And then she now tries to manipulate Isaac as we finish up here. Her desire is to get Isaac to send Jacob away to Laban. But she's going to manipulate that by saying this issue of the daughters of Heth. Yes, that's a problem, but she's being deceitful. Look at this. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. That's Esau's wives. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will be my life to me? Men, do not give in to your wives when they talk like this. This is not what we should be responding to. Listen to your wife when she's telling you the truth of God. But when she is sinning, don't respond to that in that way. It was just a cover to spare Jacob's life from the hand of Esau. It was deceitful cover. What's the point? We have a son desiring to murder another son. We have a mother who has really basically lost her sons in this situation. Lost her twins. You see, the result of when we do things our way is always pain and agony. Galatians chapter 6, you heard it read earlier, verse 7. Do not be deceived. This is to believers. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. If you do it your way, no matter what the rationale, you will reap. And there are some of you here today that need to examine things in your lives that you have done your way. God is so good. He loves us. He loves those who are affected by our decisions. Do what is right. Let his word direct you, and by faith do the right thing. And if you need to confess, confess. He will abundantly pardon. He's a forgiving God. He loves us. And on a day in and day out scale, we are tempted all the time to make little decisions and do it our way. And we need to be convicted in those when it is in contradiction to God's word. I want to close by just sharing some principles here. Obviously, we know for each and every one of them, what they tried to do didn't work out, did it? It never does. You see, sin will never deliver what we think. It always delivers pain and sorrow and death, no matter what. Secondly, you can't thwart God's ultimate will. He's going to bring forth what he wants. Submit to it. Trust him. Walk with him, no matter how difficult doing his will may be. It often is more difficult to do what he wants you to do than to sit back and compromise, at least in the moment. But there's always a price to pay, and God will bring forth his ways anyway. Third, when something is ultimately God's will, as we see, don't justify it with sinful means. Don't go about it within your own ways. We can go through life doing it our way, and that may be an evidence you don't know the Lord. Brother and sister, I don't want any one of us who truly know the Lord to be doing things our way.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. So, Greg, what happens when we do things our way?
Quite simply, pain and agony. But the living God is gracious and forgiving. And when a believer is confronted with sin resulting from doing things their way, they'll stop and reset by confessing their sin, turning from their sin to obedience, turning to God and letting God handle the consequences. Now, the non-believer will respond like Esau did, often to their own destruction. What will it be for you, friend? Turn now to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and let God work out the consequences. Don't dig in your heels and insist on doing things your way. It only ends in temporal misery and terrible eternal results. And brother and sister, the only way you can learn God's ways is through diligent study of his word. Now we're so glad you're with us today to accomplish that very thing.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.